Can you not get enough of Bacon Dental Floss? Is your bacon beer not piggy enough for you? Well, Porcine Industries has the product for you. Introducing bacon-flavored bacon. That's right. Our scienticians using clinical tests have determined that bacon just isn't bacony enough. So our bacon-flavored bacon is baconated up by 178% for maximum baconness. Bacony bacon. Bacon. Bacon, bacon, bacon.
Let's see here. There's your problem. Too much bacon.
But we didn't think you could have too much bacon.
Are you crazy? Scientists using clinical tests have determined that bacon is too bacon, 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 bacon.
Here we go again.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 139, featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, with Terry Drozdak and the Sarcastic Voyage unpaid voice acting players.
Yes, hi, hello.
Hey, how is it going, everyone? We're back.
We're back. It's been actually a while. Cause
it really feels like it has been.
I mean, we're bi-weekly now, and we are bisexual now, and we are biplanes now.
What's this now crap?
Well, all right. I thought you were bi-curious at best. Anyway, that is not what I wanted to say at all. What I wanted to say was that we put up the best of, and then we did our live show, and you know, we haven't actually sat down and talked in the submarine for a while now, so...
No, it's been a long time since we've done, like, a standard episode of this show.
It has, and it's good to be back.
It is good to be back.
Emerald City was great, though. We had a great time.
Fuck yeah, it was. Holy shit.
And so many people came out to see us, and we spent about a day thinking, are we going to do this again? And, of course, the answer was yes.
Yeah, like, honestly... There was no way we couldn't, like...
No, and I like that this has sort of turned into our thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we now sort of have a party once a year where we can put on a show and just hang out with people and meet people. And, you know, I love that this is getting a little bigger every year. And
yep.
We are doing Emerald City 2013, the official motto. We need to streamline this, make it sound a little less awkward. But the official motto is, you have 11 months to plan. If you don't show up, you're dead to us.
Yep. I am making sure to get little badges to put on my sleeve that I can tear off if you don't show up.
See, I was thinking about putting up a big board here at the in the submarine where I could just draw a big red X through them. Something like that. So, yeah.
If you don't show up, we will have an actual funeral for you.
That will be, yeah. I mean, we'll have a mass funeral. We'll throw you all into a big grave because I'm sure a bunch of you aren't going to show up like this year. But hopefully more of you will show up next year. We encourage you to. You have 11 months to plan.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't
can
show
be there.
Up, you're dead to us. Yep. And we were always happy to give you information about when it's going to be, where it's going to be, and so forth.
Listen, I got to come here from another country. If I can come here from another country, you can come from Ohio or wherever you live.
Yeah, or space.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys from space really have not had a good showing these last couple of years. I mean, guys this year came from England. They came from Canada. They came from all over the U.S., really? One guy from space can't show up? Just one?
Yeah, just one guy.
No, huh? Well, you're a jerk.
I guess he could have and just blended in with the other con inhabitants.
I suppose that's true. There is that fun game that I like to play, which is, are they in costume or are they just a person at the con?
That is always a delight.
And this started the first day when I saw this very attractive red-haired lady in wearing glasses in a wheelchair. And I could not decide if she was a hot lady in a wheelchair or if she was cosplaying as Barbara Gordon, Oracle.
Right. And you can't just go up and ask.
No.
Just like, hey, so Oracle, huh? I don't know who that is.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go away and bury myself in a pit and never come out. So, lovely meeting you.
Yeah, there's a few people like that where it's just, I can't tell and it would be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I believe on Post-Atomic Horror we talked about Blackface Guinan.
Yep.
That was a different kind of awkward altogether.
Oh, my God. I found a picture for Blackface Guinan, too. I posted it. I don't know if you saw it or not.
I didn't, but I will dig that up for the show notes, certainly.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
Yes. And I was right. Definitely Blackface
Guinan. Well, no. Once you pointed it out, I got another look, and you were
totally
right. I just didn't see it up front.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are sweaty there, and I thought, oh, okay, well, that person's just warm and wearing a big hat.
Yep.
It's, you know, a little bit of sweat, no big deal, but no, that was grease paint.
Yep.
Not cool, man. Not
cool.
But there's people like, there's the Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force who, he goes to PAX. He was also at this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell if he's just a big fat balding guy, you know, wearing sweatpants and a wife beater, or if he's actually Carl.
I just picture this 50-year-old guy sitting at home. I really want to go to PAX and the Emerald City Comic Convention, and I really want to cosplay because
that's what kind of costumes are there for a guy like me with body issues? I mean,
who shall I dress as?
I can't be Wolverine. Look at me.
I can't be Sailor Moon.
No. Wait a minute.
Is there no one out there for a stocky, balding man from Jersey to be?
Hello.
And then
what's
he turned
this
on the TV.
Yes.
And a heavenly choir broke in.
And so then he had to spend his time acquiring the foreigner belt, because I don't believe that was a prop. I believe that was the actual foreigner belt.
I assume you can order that at 3 in the morning off of TV.
Yeah,
now
but
next we have the lovely foreigner belt.
It's not like QVC's selling a million of them.
No.
You have to be the only one to buy it. Is the
only foreigner belt owner.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, to get it from him, you have to win. I don't remember what the episode was.
Now experience double vision.
I also realized that I was briefly trying to get my brain to cross-reference Aqua Teen continuity, and it came back, file not found.
Yes, the taut Aqua Teen Hunger Force continuity.
Well, I was trying to figure out the logic of how you acquire the foreigner belt, and my brain did not like that at all. Logic, huh?
Don't those guys die every week now?
I'm pretty sure they I haven't watched it in a while. They changed the name, and I don't have cable now, so I haven't seen it for a while. But yeah, they died quite a bit.
Yes.
And then, of course, there was the star cosplayer, I guess.
Uh-huh.
The guy that I came to know as Mumbly Bane.
The star cosplayer.
Well, he was a tall guy, I would say at least 6 feet tall, probably taller than I am, so 6'2", 6'3", something like that. He wore a mask that I guess was like the Hannibal Lecter protecting him from eating your fingers mask.
Yeah, like sort of that, but it was also kind of hockey mask-ish.
At first I thought it was a luchador mask, and so I started calling him Mumbly Bane, but I mostly called him that because you could not understand a word he said through this thing. Like that kind of thing.
Now he had a kind of voice like this.
Oh yeah, but that is I had no idea what his deal was.
He sounded like Vivian from The Young Ones.
He had a bit of that going. And what was nice is I was just starting out using the Neil Gaiman puppet and realizing that I could say things with the puppet that I could not say myself. And so
yes.
I just led into this guy and insulted him for half an hour. And he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
He just absolutely adored it, which helped me sharpen that a little more.
Yep. Came back four times over the course of the three days.
And what happened, apparently, the first day he asked if he could buy a book, and I told him how much it was, and he was hoping it would come down in price. And I said, nope, that's what it costs.
No.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, some people do that.
Yeah, I know. I've worked in a used bookstore long enough, and you will see quite a bit of them.
When is it cheaper? Never?
Never.
Yeah. It might be more expensive at some point.
Yeah, no,
because
if
inflation.
You want, you can go to other stores and get it for a lot more.
Yeah, but no, and so he came back the next day, and he wasn't in the mask anymore, and this older dude was with him, and apparently this guy was 14 or something, and he was with his dad, and he had taken one of our free CDs, he listened to our best of, and he would not shut up about us, apparently, according to his dad.
Yep.
He had that look, oh my god, this kid just would not stop talking about you guys, which I'm happy for us, but
yep.
I feel bad for Mumbly Bane's dad. Mumbly Bane Sr.
Sorry, Mumbly Bane Sr.
Yeah, we tried our best. Sonor Mumbly Bane. But then he bought a book. So, I mean, that was a hard-fought $5 to earn, but I feel like we really earned that $5.
Oh, yeah.
So, well
did
done
did you sign
us.
It to Mumbly Bane?
I didn't sign. I don't like signing books. We're not anybody. If our friends asked, I would do it, because fine, but...
And did.
I don't like signing things.
I know, I had to sign for you a couple of times.
That's fine. I at one point I wanted to maintain the illusion that people had us mixed up the whole time and come out on stage and say, hi, I'm Matt, and you say you're Al.
Ah, damn, why didn't we do that?
That would have been fun. Well, we kissed instead.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was nice. Also,
That was nice.
It was. You taste good, Matt.
Al, I think I'm in love with you.
Well, it's about time. I've only been trying to win you over for 3 years, Matt.
This has been the will they, won't they of the sarcastic.
Yeah, no. Now
podcast.
we've Ross and Rachel. That now it's all downhill from here.
Crap, we're gonna have to bring in a kid or something.
Real quick,
like Mumbly Bane.
Yes, Mumbly. We can adopt Mumbly Bane. We don't have to deal with him being a horrible baby or a toddler. He's a teenager now, so there's only a couple of horrible years left.
Cousin Mumblybane.
Yeah, that would be fine. No, just real quick, I wanted to mention that we do have a video of our live appearances available.
We do?
We are selling it because we're raising money for Emerald City 2013. That is the only reason we're selling it. And we have already raised a good portion of our table. We'd like to pay for the table with, you know, with this if we can. But yeah, it's got both shows. It's got the Sarcastic Voyage show we did and the Post-Atomic Horror show we did. Mm-hmm. The Sarcastic Voyage show has a ton of extra stuff.
Yep.
We have, I mean, there were a bunch of visual jokes. I'm sure if you listened to the show 2 weeks ago, you know. There was, of course, us kissing at the beginning.
Yep. Why is everyone laughing? They haven't done any, they haven't said anything funny.
Well, even from the very beginning, you can see Mr. Smlown sitting there giving his horrible monologue and moving around, which was fantastic.
Yes. His monologue?
Yes, Smlownologue. I like that. See, sometimes I like the portmanteaus. It's like one in every 50.
I like those odds.
We recorded a special intro with Puppet Neil Gaiman and Puppet Alan Moore.
That did indeed happen.
So that's on there. And we had a whole sketch that we didn't have time to rehearse and throw together for the show, unfortunately. We had written for it. Mm-hmm. And so we went back and recorded that and put that in the video as well. So there is extra material, as well as, like I say, a bunch of visual stuff. You get to see Beef giving us butterfly kisses.
Yep.
You get to see the audience there, and it's great. And it's $3.
Yeah.
For both shows. It's 2 hours of mostly high-def video. Bob was basically running the board for us, doing all this technical stuff, and at one point he just, like, was pushing so many buttons he forgot to hit record. So the first, I don't know, minute, he had to get off the internet stream, but then it's full HD, and it's fantastic. So, yeah. And Bob, I mean, this is, from me to Bob, this is, listeners, you don't have to hear this. Tune out for a second. But Bob, you did an amazing job. Thank you so much for all you did.
Yes.
Just now I'm tearing up. Thanks for that.
Aw.
No, he just, I mean.
No tears, honey. Bob, not anymore.
Can we dream, Matt?
I think we can now.
All right.
It's too bad you die. But,
yeah, I'll be a skeleton as soon as you open the pod in the next movie.
Yep.
But for now, yes. No, I wanted to make a quick mention particularly. There were a lot of people there who were there to support us, a lot of people who did a lot of great stuff for us, and I'm not going to sit here and mention names all day and bore people, but I will say that Bob was so incredibly helpful. I would literally hold out my hand not knowing what I needed, and then he would put it in my hand, and there it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a microphone. Yes, of course I need this. Thank you, Bob.
When there was only one set of footprints, it's when Bob was carrying.
Yes, carrying me and the camera equipment and the sign that he made. Yeah. And I was able to compensate Bob a little. I did kick in a little for his hotel to lure him out here, but he did way more than what I was able to give him, and I just wanted to give him a special thanks for that. So there's that.
Yes.
That's pretty much it as far as con wrap-up goes. As far as people in terrible costumes, I feel like there's one further thing we should discuss before we move on here, Matt.
Mm.
This is something you brought to my attention. Apparently there's a chapter of the Ghostbusters in Canada in your native Vancouver. Why don't you...
I was looking at... I got the Vancouver Fan Expo coming up this weekend, right?
Sure, which is like that's one of those smaller, like, just selling comics, not really any guests conventions,
no,
right?
This is actually our first big comic convention.
Really?
Yeah.
Really good for you. I mean, you're a major city. You should have them, so that's good.
Exactly, and we haven't for the longest time. For the longest time, we've only had, like, a tiny sort of back room, couple of dealers get together.
Well, a lot of places have.
But, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's, I mean, you guys, I mean, like, Vancouver and, like, Toronto and, like, one or two other major Canadian cities, it seems like you should be on the circuit with Chicago, San Diego, Seattle, you know, and so forth.
And yet we haven't had a big comic convention in years and years.
Well, it's good.
So this rolled around, and I went to the website to check it out, you know, see who was coming, and there was a bunch of, you know, creators I'm actually really looking forward to seeing. And I saw that one of the people coming was the Vancouver branch of the Ghostbusters.
Oh, nice. Well, you love the Ghostbusters,
and
so this is a match made in heaven.
Yeah, and I just, oh my God, we have a branch of this? Because, you know, there's like, this is one of those things that, like, a lot of towns and states have.
Well, sure, I assume it's like Batman Incorporated, where you have a Ghostbusters in every town.
Yeah, exactly. So I went to check it out, and you have never seen a faster turnaround from abject, like, from complete and total excitement and interest to utter depression and sadness. As I click on this link, and this website opens up with these four guys in the shittiest Ghostbusters costumes I've ever seen.
Well, I would say costumes, demi-costumes, pseudo-costumes. Like, aren't they not wearing shirts?
Many of them are not wearing shirts.
Okay.
If I were to, if I were to use one word to describe them, it would be bro.
So, bit of a fraternity vibe.
Yeah. Just a lot of barbed wire tattoos.
Right.
And
roofies.
Roofies, yeah.
They smelled of roofies somehow. Definitely. You could tell that through the computer screen. Even though roofies have no scent.
The stench of roofies was powerful.
Yep. Little roofie stink cloud around them.
Oh, my God.
Not cool.
No, just, if you could just picture someone going from, ah, to, oh. It sounded like, oh.
That's unfortunate.
It was a sad day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, this could be, yes, there's a local Ghostbusters. I could, you know, this could be something I could be a part of. No. For one thing, I prefer to keep my shirt on most of the time.
Yeah, that's probably a thing you should do.
I wish that they would do likewise.
Right. Well, if you see them, maybe you should bring your puppet and heckle them, because that usually works well, and you can blame the puppet.
Oh, you're the Ghostbusters, huh? Sir, I've met the Ghostbusters. I've worked with the Ghostbusters, and you... pathetic.
Yeah, they're not going to get the reference anyway. There's no reason to do that.
Who's this?
The right way, yep. Never mind.
The busting makes me feel like drinking a beer.
Bra.
Sweet ghost, bra.
And with that, I think it's time that we took a break. We're going to play some bits, and we will be back in a few minutes with your mail. We'll be right back. Well,
You gotta go with what the wheel says, Al.
I know I do. It's just... Oh, hi, everyone. We're here with the Wheel of Mashups, and...
Go on.
Well, we took a spin before the segment started, and now I'm kind of stuck.
Here's the thing we didn't tell you about the Wheel of Mashups last time. Its choices are legally binding.
They sure are, Matt. That means no matter what two pop culture entities come up on the wheel, we are obligated by law to combine them into a sketch.
This is what happens when Al buys show props at a government auction.
Listen, we can't undo it now. We've spun the wheel, and here we are. Let's just do this.
Before you joined us, we had the wheel select this week's random seeds. I came up with Caroline in the City, which I have never heard of in my life. What is it, some kind of herbal tea?
And I got Coraline, which I think is a manufacturer of heavy equipment, or possibly a Madonna song.
Well, I guess we have to do something with this. We risk angering the wheel. All hail the Wheel of Mashups.
Man, I'm not scared of that thing. I'm not doing it. I don't even care that the title Coraline in the City is super obvious and already does half the work for us. I refuse to cave to the unreasonable wishes of a giant wheel.
Are you scared of a giant wheel that's just broken free and appears intent on murdering you?
Nope, not at all.
Well, I think we're done here.
Gentlemen, this has been a disastrous few years for Silverdale Advertising. Right on the heels of the frankly disastrous McDonald's campaign, Double Cheeseburger, I'd Hit It, we had Perkins' ill-conceived slogan for Dick's Hoagies, which went, "Shove a hot dick in your mouth and feel the warm mayonnaise ooze down your throat."
I mean, I thought that painted a pretty good mental picture myself. They're quite proud of their signature in-house mayonnaise.
Yes, well, it did paint a picture, Perkins. You're absolutely spot on about that. It was a picture so vivid, the FCC fined us $40,000, which we tried to pay with the check from Dick's, but it bounced because they withdrew their funding.
Aw, man, Dick's pulled out?
Shut up! You people in your utter obliviousness are going to drive this firm to ruin, especially you, Perkins. I'm hereby implementing a new emergency policy. From now on, any and all advertising slogans you come up with must be run past this 12-year-old boy.
Sup, losers.
Sir, surely you can't-
Perkins, I swear to Christ, I will come into your home when you're sleeping and I will cut your throat with a knife.
Sorry, sir.
And just so there's no confusion as to how things are going to work now, I want you each to throw whatever idea you're currently working on at little-
Dylan.
At little Dylan here.
Little Dylan's in my pants, dude. Big Dylan's up here.
Right. Now, let's hear those ideas.
Okay, well, I've been working on a campaign for Tootsie Rolls. It's a visual piece, but I brought the drawings with me. See, the two Tootsie Pops at the bottom with the single Tootsie Roll at the top, and they create the visual effect of...
A wang.
What?
You made a cock and balls out of candy. Next!
Mine's for that file-sharing service, Dropbox. They wanted me to stress the ease of use, the hands-on philosophy of their support team, and the large amount of space they give you. So I've got, get a hand or two inside our box.
Yeah, no. Next!
Go on, Perkins.
I don't know, sir. This kid's good.
Yes, I know he's good. I hired him. He can see things that none of us can see, as though his very sight were guided by the gods of ancient themselves. He is privy to obtuse and perverse visions of abstract beauty and horror to which we, as mortals, are not. Now, what are you working on, Perkins? Get on with it. Or, as those very gods are my witnesses, I will gut you like a sheep before this gifted but innocent 12-year-old boy and this entire conference room of your trusted colleagues.
Okay, all right. Deep breath. It's just...
Get on with it!
Okay. Well, as you know, sir, we've been dealing with that luggage company out of Ohio for a while now. They wanted us to emphasize the fact that even though their luggage is quite bulky, it's also surprisingly lightweight. So, I have, Cleveland steamers won't leave you pooped.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Hello, ladies. Are you looking for the erotic thrill and titillation of a romance novel minus the challenge of reading? Yet are also weary of thunderingly manly presences in your audiobooks? Would you rather have your books read to you by someone of a more unintimidating masculinity with a flair for the theatrical? Well, you're in luck, because the Sarcastic Audiobooks Incredibly Specific Fetish Division is proud to announce its latest line. Notably flamboyant men reading Harlequin romance novels. You'll be dazzled by the fabulousness of our celebrity narrators. You're sure to put an O in your center square as you listen to Paul Lind reading One Night, 9 Month Scandal.
His answer was to guide her hand to the bold swell of his erection. She didn't need to understand Greek to pick up the shock in his tone. Shock that quickly turned to a groan of pleasure as she caressed the whole thick velvet length of him. Kelly, he said huskily. I like the view from here.
Or perhaps you'd rather thrill to the undeniable masculinity and soothing effeminacy of Harvey Fierstein as he reads, Bedded by the Desert King.
Holding it to him, Shaheen backed her towards the fur rug in front of the fire. But she couldn't wait to get there, and throwing her arms around his neck, she sprang up and wrapped her legs around his waist, leaning back so he had no alternative but to do what she demanded. Sinking deep with an animal roar, it was Shaheen's turn to throw his head back in ecstasy as she closed her muscles around him and held him tight. You're mine, she told him fiercely, and then she moved her hips with strong, delicate thrusts, daring him to argue.
And if your tastes run to the classy, erudite, and impish, you'll love Truman Capote's performance of Innocent Wife, Baby of Shame.
He kissed with such passion, each determined thrust of his tongue reminding her of the hot, hard surge of his body and hers. Her body prepared itself, the silky-scented dew of arousal made her legs soften with surrender as he maneuvered her toward the sumptuous lounge. Ugh, really?
Once again, we have printed several hundred thousand of these and are desperate to find anyone who wants to buy them. The law of averages says they're out there, so if you're a lady... or gentlemen, who wants to hear ladylike gentlemen read about gentlemen and ladies, order now. Call in the next 7 minutes and receive a bonus performance by Vincent Price.
Beanie!
Absolutely free. Operators are standing by. Disclaimer. Sarcastic Audiobooks is not real in either of these recordings. Harlequin romance titles and content are real and referenced here solely for amusement. I mean, we couldn't make them funny even if we tried. All celebrity voices are impersonated, rather obviously.
And now, on SBFM, it's Unfathomable Enigmas for Insomniacs with your host, Aaron Fawcett. Brought to you by Winchester Tires, your top spot for tires and hubcaps in the greater Sussex County area.
Evening, believers. It's 3 a.m. and it's time to start exploring the shadows. I'm your host, Aaron Fawcett, and we'll be going nonstop till 5 a.m. when... Cooter and the Bear arrive to send the sheep off to their meaningless day jobs. Getting you all caught up out there, last night I successfully removed the tooth with the government tracking chip in it. I'm on my fourth day without sleep, and I've successfully demagnetized the sonar barcodes in my money. Now let's get straight to your calls. Mysteries of the Unexplained, you're on the air.
Hey, Aaron, this is Warren.
Chitar.
Go ahead for me, Warwick.
The government's been stealing my money. I went to my change closet last night to locate a $20 for the pizza man, and I found the president's wife rifling through my coin purse.
Well, that's a goddamn drag, Warwick, and yes, we can swear on the air here. I double-dog dare the man to shut me down.
I just think I should have the peace to be able to seal myself in my change closet with my piping hot pizza pie like any average American.
You keep speaking those truths, Warwick. Next up...
Aaron, this is Neville from Yannick County. My neighbor keeps putting bats in my laundry. I think he might be a witch.
Probably, Neville. I recommend keying his car.
Bats are a hate crime.
Next...
This is Sasquatch from the rural forests of North America.
What is it now, Sasquatch?
My environment is rapidly declining as logging forces force me to flee closer and closer towards the Russian border. Did I fight in Vietnam for nothing?
Everyone's sick of your hippie crap, Sasquatch. Call us back when you finish burning your bra. Line 2.
Oh, this is Carl Pheasant from Harold's Pass. I'm 3 children wearing a large overcoat, and attempting to sneak into an R-rated movie.
You keep sticking it to the man, Carl. We'll be back after this.
Mysteries of the Unexplained is brought to you by Winchester Tires.
Winchester Tires.
If you need quality tires and hubcaps, look no further than Winchester Tires, your one-stop shop for tires, hubcaps, streetlights, and the smug sense of satisfaction that you're buying tires that have fought in recent wars on American soil. Winchester Tires, the haunted automobile.
We're back, and we have Tom from Bistro Heights.
Aaron, my wife, left me for an extra-dimensional spaceship. She took our cat, and I really miss the little bastard.
Which dimension was this ship from?
What, now I have to keep track of everything she does? Marjorie's her own damn woman now, and that cat knew what it was getting into?
Thanks, Tom. Real enlightening. Now we have Terry from Gaithersburg.
I seen him.
Thanks, Terry. Always a pleasure. New Hampson Tire, you're on the air. Go for Aaron.
Aaron, this is your mother. Come home, dear. We all miss you. Samantha made that stew you really like.
Mom, I told you I'm not coming home until I've ended tyranny.
Your father found your Playboys and he threw them all over the lawn. The neighbors were in such a state.
You tell Dad I still hate him. Theodore Xerxes, you're on whatever the hell show this is called now.
Hey, Mrs. Allen. I left my keys on the dining room table and can't get in the house.
We'll be back after another word from Winchester Tires.
This program brought to you by Winchester Tires.
Winchester Tires.
Winchester Tires Winchester supplies tires audible tires the for the heart of hearing and death Your of eye. Your son is Winchester Tires.
We're back now, and here's Ed from Tarek Drive.
I killed like 3 people.
That's fine, Ed, but this is a show about conspiracies.
I think some of them are Castro.
Your conspiracies are all out of date, Ed. Nobody cares about Castro anymore.
I'm Ed Begley Jr.
I feel like I should know who that is. Next caller, Carla, go.
One time, I had a box of cinnamon rolls, and then a mommy stole them. I think it was the curse of the mummy's tooth. Okay, bye!
I don't know what's happened to my life, but that's fine. Here's another word from Winchester Tires.
Tonight's program was brought to you by Winchester Tires.
All right, we're back, and that's all the time we have for tonight. I want to thank everyone who called in, and we'll be back tomorrow night when I drive a steel spike into my eyeball.
And we're back, and as we've been trying to do lately, we have brought a guest along to answer the mail with us, so that guest is Tidro.
Hi, guys.
So, welcome, Tidro. How's things going?
How are you?
Things are fine.
Do you want to get your plugs out of the way now, since I will almost inevitably forget to ask you to do them at the end?
That's true.
Okay, well, if you are in the market for soap, you may buy it at bunnybubbles.etsy.com. Mm-hmm. And if you need tiny top hats... or
as we all find ourselves doing at some point or another, tiny top hats.
Shit comes up more often than you'd think.
Yeah.
Or costume horn accessories. Or, I don't know. food-shaped jewelry.
Very specific items.
Yes. It's bunnieskrafthutch.etsy.com.
Very well.
Get ye Thanks. There and get ye some horns.
Robots don't say ye. Now,
I'll show ye.
Before we begin, I think we need to update the audience on this important development.
Oh my God.
Okay, some of us, and I certainly will cop to this more than most, have pop culture gaps. Certain things that everyone knows that somehow just slip by your radar.
Yep.
Like how I didn't know Sweet Caroline. I just, mm-hmm. I'd never heard it. And we discovered one of Matt's earlier today, which was Biz Markie's Just a Friend. Somehow he just managed to never hear this song.
We don't have rap up here in Canada.
Apparently not. And so I was fortunate to have the setup going where I could just hit record and get his natural reaction. So let's hear a clip of that now. That was live footage of Matt discovering Biz Markie for the first time. Tidra, you were roughly the same age. Do you remember the first time you had your Just a Friend cherry popped?
I actually assumed that song has always existed.
No, it was out when we were in high school. Like,
yes,
it was,
I know, but
know.
I mean, it just, as far as I can remember, it's just always been there.
Biz Markie.
Oh, so this footage of him dressed as, like, Beethoven or whatever is actually...
It's in real time. It's actual footage from the Renaissance.
When he was composing it.
Yes.
You're going to get so many letters for calling for saying that was in the happened in the Renaissance, just so you know.
Yeah, it was the Renaissance, right? The Renaissance took the Japanese Renaissance.
Listen, I am taking a stand here. If you correct us, I am going to throw your email away. I am sick of being told that our comedy show is getting the facts wrong. I think the worst was when Joel, Mr. Jen, wrote in and told us that when we said SSDD stood for same shit, different day. And he's like, no, it's a single-sided double density. Yeah, but that's not funny. That's
like, no, you don't say.
Really? Just let it.
I don't think there's a gasp loud enough.
Yeah, I mean, jokes, that's how jokes work. You know you can taunt Happy Funball, right? It's just a joke. Like, it's okay. Like, you know, New Shimmer is not actually a floor wax and a dessert topping. I'm trying to think back to sketches where things have been false. You know, it's all right. All right, that said, let's answer some mail. Let's prepare to be corrected. I really wish I had the envelopes to open up and crumple up for...
Yeah, I missed that now.
Yeah, that was actually a nice touch.
I'll send you some old envelopes from my old office.
Oh, please don't do that.
We should just take the newspaper that we're always that we're all the time looking at for news items and crumple that up.
Well, I mean, we don't always get good Wi-Fi down here in the submarine, so, you know, you got to pass the time somehow. And what are we going to do, talk to each other?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Don't we do that enough?
Exactly. All right. First email comes from Blandy, and he says, Dear Alan Matt, I recently, yesterday, started listening to your show again regularly, starting from where I left off, episode 70. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't think I went below episode 100 when I was compiling our best stuff.
No wonder you failed. Jesus.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the contest to come up with a new character for Nick and Willikins is still going. The deadline is only listed as August 9th, so that should leave me plenty of time, right? I'll start recording and submitting my entry soon. Your surly veteran, Blandy.
Are we sure it's Blandy this time?
No, I'm not sure. It could still be Pat claiming to be Blandy. There are a lot of faux Blandys out there. Sorry, Tidro, what were you going to say?
I just said wow. That's all.
Now, do you remember, like, you might have a better memory of what we say than we do, because I don't remember a damn thing. Do you remember anything about our contest? Did anyone win that? Is that a thing we did?
I mean, if you want to call them winners.
Was there an episode 70? It's all very vague to me.
I believe there was an episode 70. I believe there was a winner. I couldn't tell you at gunpoint who it was.
Does that come up often? Do people ask you questions about our show at gunpoint?
Because you better tell us what we want to know about episode 70 of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast.
At least weekly.
Right.
It'd be a real shame if something happened to your soap shop here.
These tiny horns look very fragile. Wonder what would happen to one of these top hats if someone dropped an anvil on it.
Your food soap looks surprisingly edible.
Oh, God.
So, what was the question again?
He wants to know if he can still submit his entries into the contest. As I do actually recall that we deliberately didn't declare a winner just because we wanted to fill a whole show full of you guys doing voices. And
because we're jerks like that.
We didn't give a prize because I don't think we had a prize.
No.
So technically the contest is still open because nobody won. So you know what? Sure. You want to send us your entries into that contest? That's totally fine. And that's open to everyone. Any previous contest that we never officially declared a winner on is still fair game.
Sure.
Why not? All right. Next email comes from Caitlin. And she says, "Greetings, my fellow science enthusiasts. Think you gentlemen need to start a nature show, as I know has been discussed previously." Have we discussed that previously?
I don't think I like nature enough to, want to spend time talking about it.
Do we know people who know... Deidre, do you know anything particular about nature? You're one of our regular guests. Would you have anything to contribute to that?
No, I'll stay as far away from nature as possible.
It's pointy and smelly.
I have my office window open here for the first time, and I'm seeing bugs out there, and I don't want to go out to that.
No,
No.
Wait, doesn't Mallory know a lot about Matt?
A lot about Matt? Yes, she does.
Yes, she does.
A lot about ants.
Some would say more than most people.
Ants.
Yes, about Matt.
Ant.
Matt the ant.
that guy's podcast.
I don't think she knows a lot about ants, as I recall. I mean, she may. I don't want to speak for her, certainly. But she does know how to summon them.
Yes.
Somehow.
Well, see?
She's
there
the
you
ant
go.
Whisperer.
But I think she just has a rare condition where she excretes ant hormones or pheromones. I don't think that she necessarily knows about ants, but I could be wrong.
Ant expert.
No.
Okay.
Now for that, we would have to go to Aunt May.
that was maybe the second or third to worst joke you've said in the last 10 minutes.
If we're going to do that, then I don't have the time to push all that machinery off myself.
All right. Something, something wheat cakes. I have prepared material for your first episode, see attached. If you don't like reading science papers, which would be preposterous because everyone loves reading science papers, I'll summarize. Science.
I think she's thinking of English Gaff.
Yeah, I think she must be. Well, we're basically the same.
Which is understandable. I find myself thinking about him all the time.
Well, I received a large parcel of boiled sweets from the UK, from the Gavs. And so I'm still sort of reeling in the affection of free candy. So yes, they're forefront of my mind right now. She says, "There is a fungus in our natural world that causes our beloved creepy insects, commonly referred to as ants, to act totally crazy possessed alien freaks. The fungus infects the brain of the afflicted insect, compelling it to climb to the highest point possible, clamp onto whatever leaf or stick it might be on, and then die in this position. Following the death of the host, the parasitic fungus then emerges in all its blooming floral glory, and ejecting its spores into the air to affect the brain of other nearby insects. If you can find a clip of it fast forward, it'll look straight up like sci-fi in nature. Rad." That's pretty much it. Yours in science, Caitlin. I think we actually discussed this on a previous show, but I think we kind of glossed over it. I'm glad somebody kind of went into the details of it.
I'm shocked that no one's done this as like a zombie-style horror flick.
Well, really, how are you going to sympathize with the ants?
I mean, like, for people. In my head, all I can think of is people possessed by this thing, crawling up to the tops of buildings, latching onto them, and then exploding.
Yeah, that would
that
be...
That is fucking good TV.
TV or movie?
It could be both.
Because, I mean, if you're talking like a reality show where they actually engineer a version of this ant thing for
people...
I think
the record will show I never talk about reality shows.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, maybe you could make it, you know, the world's biggest... I don't know. What are those terrible shows you watch, Tidro? Like, the world's best ballerina? Or, like, the what is it? The cake models? Or, like...
I don't watch a lot of those horrible
You watch shows. The fashion cooking ones. Like, I'm gonna cook your
Project
wig. Or,
Cake Boss.
That's the one. Look, you came on the show. You knew what you were getting into.
I'm not saying a word.
I'm going to throw you under the reality bus.
Ugh.
But
cake bus?
Yes, the cake bus. Thank you. So they eat a cake poisoned with this fungus. Then they climb to the top of the bakery.
Infected, they crawl to the top of the highest cake they can find.
Which would typically be a wedding cake or some other kind of tiered, you know,
then they explode
cake.
In a shower of frosting, decorating the cake.
Dragées everywhere. Yeah, no, I still wouldn't. What about you, Tidro?
This is why I stay far away from nature. It's freaky.
It is.
And I would not watch that show.
Very well. We will definitely include a clip of that horrible ant thing because it is fantastically...
It is.
Just, most weird stuff like that happens in the sea, but this is actually a thing that happened. No, I'm serious. Like, that's why the ocean is so fascinating, because it's basically like space. Like, what the fuck's going on down there?
No one knows.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why Matt hates it so.
Yep. No, the XKCD guy recently put up a, I hesitate to call it a cartoon, because it's not.
Right.
But it was like infograph. A big chart of all the ocean depth and stuff in comparison to it, and I just stared at it and was all like, this is so cool.
Yeah, and then there was a You Are Here flag for James Cameron, which is just makes it even more surreal.
It was amazing, and there was like 7 funny jokes in the midst of all that really good information.
Yep.
My eyes glaze over. I like science. I appreciate science. I respect science, but I can't read science. I just got so bored. So many numbers.
Sir, I know science, and I've worked with science, and you are no science.
Oh, come on. Chidro, yesterday you were printing me some stickers, and you couldn't do, like, 6 times 4. Like, you don't like math either.
I didn't... That's not what happened.
Okay, well, then, what happened?
I had to make sure I got an even number of stickers.
Yeah, it's like matching the hot dog buns to the hot dogs.
Yes, that's exactly what I had to do.
Right.
Except for then I didn't really have to do that because you didn't care.
Well, no, because there's math and I didn't want to care.
Well, yeah, but I like to do things properly.
Well, that'll teach you.
That'll teach me, yes.
Yep. Very well. Next one comes from Joel. I wonder what he's going to correct us about.
Joel!
Not that Joel.
Joel.
Nope. This is Mr. Jen. And he says, Dear Hamgar, I trust that Emiticon or whatever the hell went well. I thank you for my donuts and not absconding with my wife. Well, that was not my choice, I assure you. In that order. She insisted that there was much frivolity in a prom of some sort with hot librarian chicks. Hey, that's you, Tidro, and others. Mm-hmm. Hot librarian chicks. Which now hikes the count of proms I have missed where there were hot librarian chicks to 5. She was also not impressed with Flonk's drinking ability, since it's apparently based on delicately sniffing millidrops of the occasional malted beverage, rather than punkin' chunkin' several kegs of raw corn mash at a time, as she was initially led to believe. I believe her assessment was Flonk is a cheating liar, what lies and cheats, although I confess I could have misheard. Is that really? Like, I thought he liked to try different beers, but I really didn't think he was known for holding his liquor, per se.
I mean, I know that he's a liar and a cheat, but that's because he eats grumble cakes.
Yeah, and those people go to prison.
Right.
Just ask the cheat. You won't get that, Tidro, because you haven't watched every cartoon from the beginning.
I figured out that I wouldn't get it.
I don't think that that's true at all.
No, that's progress. At least I know that I'm not going
to
get that joke.
Well, now you're ready to go to Progress Island, USA. So good for you.
So is the Home Star Runner your just friend?
Yeah. Pretty much.
The curse of the just friend. That is a horrible burden to bear, especially if you don't even have arms. Anyway. I just don't remember Flonk ever particularly claiming to be a liquor horse. I just thought he
doesn't have a drinking prowess that I'm aware of.
He does have a drinking problem, but then so do all of our friends.
Well, yes.
Or as Tidro decided during Emerald City Weekend, they're just sticker enthusiasts.
Well, yeah.
They're just doing it for the stickers.
I decided that. That was just self-evident.
It's the only way to get stickers.
I thought they were alcoholics. I thought that was pretty self-evident, but what do I know?
Yeah. It's interesting on that Untappd app because you can see exactly how much your friends drink. And it's difficult to explain to people that they're really not alcoholics.
They just like stickers.
No, exactly. I'm pretty sure they are. I'm pretty sure you guys come home from work, and I say you guys as in everyone I follow on Twitter. Not you and a couple of other people, but everyone. I'm home from work. It's time to drink. Really? Is your life that bad? I mean, drinking's fun. I give you that. I don't do it much myself anymore, but I totally get that. But every night, it's like, wow, my life is terrible. I better just soak it in alcohol.
Some people actually like the taste of beer.
All right. Well,
the day I realized I had a problem was when I looked at my binder and saw how many stickers I'd put on it.
Those stickers were a wake-up call. Then I realized I could sniff the glue on the stickers, and I was back in business. But yeah, I don't think that Flonk, or anyone, really claims to, you know, be a, except for Dave, who we have seen down, I don't know, entire distilleries. But, you know, for the most part, I think our friends are just...
They would drink the sea.
Yeah, probably. And everything in it.
Yep.
But, no, I think that, you know, it's like wine tasting, except you can actually swallow it. But you don't need a lot of it. You're just trying it. You're trying out different things to see what you like. That's not a, you know, that's not a lie exactly. I can give you so many more Flonk lies.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, do you know any off the top of your head things that Flonk has lied about?
He lied about being the Homestar Runner.
That's
still
true.
About that.
He is a terrific athlete, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're losing Tidro again. Anything else? Or?
He has cats that he lies about to his landlords.
No, he doesn't have cats. Okay. That's you're crazy. Don't talk crazy. That's crazy. All right.
Mr. Tidro should not be reflected in real life.
What if his landlord listens to this?
His landlord is a huge fan of this show.
Yep. Well, his landlord is Spider-Man, Matt.
Yes.
That's why. Or at least he told me that it was.
Well, then he should send us pictures.
I have no reason to disbelieve that. Joel continues, all of which leads me naturally to the Smithsonian, America's attic, our greatest natural heritage, the big house, the stony lonesome. Okay, Tidro, you, like me, grew up in the D.C. area. They don't call it the stony lonesome, do they?
Maybe they should start.
I've never heard that phrase used.
Okay. Matt, based...
Big easy.
Matt, based on
but
my
I'm
extensive...
I'm not from the big city. I'm not from the big city.
No, but that is, you know, you do live in a suburb thereof.
Now I do.
And that's where you take out-of-town visitors when they come?
No, I don't.
Well, I did. God, I went to the fucking Air and Space Museum so many goddamn times. And I like air and space, but I don't care if I ever see them again.
I heard they replaced it all with Avatar stuff.
Yeah, probably. And a Roger Corman exhibit for some reason. Joel continues, Matt, based on my extensive knowledge of Canadian culture, your rough equivalent to the Smithsonian would be Tim Hortons.
Of course.
There's an exhibit there now about the art of video games. I propose you interview me about it after I go to it, which probably won't happen for several months. Right, glad that's cleared. God bless hot librarian chicks. JB the GDG. Is that gang code?
Don't do what Wally Don't does.
Well, if there's one thing I know, if there's two things I know about myself, one, I got this old truck I like to fix up.
Yeah, you do.
And two, I love it when people invite themselves on the show.
Yep, that is a guaranteed way to get on the show.
I really like it when you tell me that you must be on the show because that will guarantee that I will never even talk to you again.
Yep.
So
you certainly won't ever not be on the show out of spite.
No, just let us do the driving, all right? We know what we're doing. Mm.
Al's got the truck for it.
Well, I'd like to fix it up.
Theoretically, you'll be able to drive it someday.
Right, if Mavis would bring me some Quaker State, I could finally get that thing running. But all right. Next one comes from Blandy. He says, Dear Al and Matt, why is it that while listening to your show, there are many times when the phrase, clap your hands if you believe, comes to mind? Is that a thing we say a lot?
I guess. I know we've said it.
Again, Tidro, we're kind of counting on you to be the sort of the person who listens, because I don't pay attention. I'm just saying the things.
Well, I'm in trouble then. Oh. Because I don't recall a specific incident of that.
It is a go-to reference that I like. I mean,
who doesn't enjoy a Peter Pan joke?
Right.
Maybe he just thinks you both are very fairy-like.
Well,
that's certainly true. Have you seen us?
Yeah. We are very delicate, waifish people with wings.
That was my favorite part of meeting you in Emerald City. I didn't know about the wings.
No, and when you leaded to hug me, you almost crushed me because I have hollow bones so I can fly.
Yes,
I'm sorry. I didn't know, though.
Well, you are a powerful hugger. That's the other thing.
I, on the other hand, was too busy stealing people's teeth.
What are you going to do with all those teeth?
I just love teeth.
All right. Next one comes from English Gav, and I wish I could do English Gav's voice, but I can't.
No one can.
No.
Incredible.
Not even English Gav, oddly enough. He says, hi, science fans.
Hi.
I saw this April Fool's article about Pepsi using superluminal neutrinos instead of carbon to make their drinks fizzy, and I almost considered a neutrino Pepsi or carbon Coke question. But I shan't. I like that he didn't say shan't. He made the contraction shan't.
Small.
Instead, I'm just going to say how great it was to see you record this podcast live at Emerald City and keep up the good... Well, he says work. W-dash-dash-K.
Good
Yeah. I don't know how to say that out loud.
What?
There was actually a bit where I was talking to Irish Gav about drunken time travel. And I said one of their episodes, they worked off each other particularly well, but I did the W-K. So it said, you W-K off each other well. And he said, I'm surprised you could tell that on in audio. Wow. They've been doing that for 5 years, and that's the first time they went to the wank joke. I'm impressed they sat on that for that long. He goes on, by the way, milk is better than cream in coffee. That's simply not true. This I conclude from a survey sample of myself. I was too lazy to survey further.
Fair enough.
This was the thing. Irish Gav had coffee here, and he's like, what is the big deal with coffee in America? Why do you like coffee? And then he had it with cream. He's like, oh, that's why. We don't put cream in coffee in England. This is good.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it is. P.S. How are you enjoying the cola candy? Englishy yours, Gaff. I mentioned this before. They sent me some English candy, and it was delightful. They sent me this great cola-flavored candy that's coated in mercury.
I believe you'll find that they're called sweets.
Well, that's true. They are boiled sweets. You're correct about that. There's this stuff. What are they? Silver cola balls, I think they're called, which is just delightful.
So what, did they just, like, take a can of soda and put it in, like, a car crusher?
Yeah. So you get the flavor and the silvery bits as well.
Huh.
No, I'm pretty sure they're coated in mercury.
That's incredible.
I was really jealous until you just described that.
No, I'm kidding. It's not actually coated in mercury. You're being the well actually people. The calls are coming from inside the podcast.
Well, if it's not true, then I am actually jealous, because
yes, it's not true. Mercury will drive you insane, and they don't actually put it in food, even in England.
Insane in the membrane.
Yes. You! All right. Now I know how to make Matt laugh. One syllable is all it takes. Next one comes from Mike X. We haven't heard from him for a while, and he says, hey guys, I'd planned on sending you a question for your live show, but then I was kidnapped by the auto industry and forced to work in their felt mines, which doesn't even make any sense, so I'm a little late. Anyway, my keeping it short question was going to be this. I like that people have learned from the cautionary tale of Scott Siocco. I had an answer prepared. I wasn't going to make an example of him. And then I was watching you guys check your phones. And I was watching him with his head buried in his hands. I'm like, you know what? This isn't just me being a control freak. People get bored after about 30 seconds. So I feel vindicated there. He says, if you had to choose between losing your vision and losing your hearing, which would it be? Tidra, you want to take this one first?
That's really hard. Yeah. I got to say hearing, though. I think I'm more of a visual person. I would really miss being able to hear things, but I kind of need to see things, too.
Huh.
Yeah.
What about you, Matt?
I'd have to drop the hearing, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
At the end of the day, you can learn sign language. Of course, on the other hand, that means this podcast is gone.
Well, that's the thing. No, I've always been an audio person. I read books better if they're read to me, like audiobooks, and I love podcasting and all this, and I respond better to sounds of voices than I do to sights of things. I would totally go blind first.
No, I'm way more visual.
Not a question. No, not me.
Yeah, but I couldn't make soap anymore if I lost my sight, I don't think. I'm pretty sure I would cut my fingers off.
Well, but then, you know, then by cutting your fingers off, you get your vision back, right? Because you're only losing one thing.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah. Wait,
so isn't it if you cut your fingers off, don't you spite your wrists?
Yeah, but then you can get robot hands.
I'm pretty sure I've bled out at this point.
No, that's probably true, too.
Well, yeah, with that attitude.
But then you can make blood soap.
Now I want to make blood soap.
I would like to put in an order for some caffeinated blood soap, please.
Well, I'll just mail her some of my blood, which is pre-caffeinated. You can put blood in the mail, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
No,
I should have put it in there with your goddamn umbrella.
Thank you for sending me my umbrella.
Yes, fine. We're friends. I don't mind spending...
Like, it's great for shipping stuff because, you know, it lessens the impact.
What's that?
If you ship stuff in blood, like, it's way safer than packing peanuts.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, there's no chance, like, once you get past the blood, there's nothing worse in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing. The umbrella thing, I don't mind. Like, you know, we're friends. You came to my town. You left something behind. I don't mind spending $3 or whatever it was on a stamp. The thing is, I woke up the morning after the convention, and there were literally 30 tweets waiting for me about your umbrella and about how I absolutely must get it back.
Not from me.
No, not from you. This was not you. This was everyone else so concerned about your umbrella and how to get it back to you. Well, Al's still there. He can mail it, right? Get it to Al. How does Al get her umbrella? Oh, my God. Fine. Jesus. Fucking umbrella. You know, first of all, I'm sure you own more than one umbrella because you're that kind of a chick.
It's very possible.
Enthusiast?
Yeah.
It's very possible that I have at least 3 umbrellas.
I see. Because I bet different ones match different outfits or whatever.
Shut up.
I so have you figured out.
Dude, you're through the looking glass on Tidro here.
I'm through the penguin's monocle. But secondly, you know water doesn't hurt, right? Like, it might make your hair go bad, but you can wear a hat. Like, it's not a big deal. It's just water.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I had to wear a hat all the time in Seattle because of stupid rain. I have pretty hair, dude.
That is true, but there are hats, there are hoods, there are other things other than umbrellas to protect your hair.
Rocky Horror Picture Show taught me anything. There's newspapers you can hold over yourself.
That is a thing people did back in the day.
That's true, and before they invented umbrellas.
Yeah, I mean, and before newspapers went out of fashion.
Yes.
Yeah. People like hold their iPods up there?
I'm just thinking, what a homeless guy like uses a blanket now? Because there aren't newspapers anymore.
They're just covered in tablet computers.
I don't like this new future.
Mike X says, by the way, if you see any car parts in the future with the words help me designed onto them, I'm required to say it wasn't me. Busily yours, Mike. Oh, so Mike makes cars. It's always nice to make these connections with people. Now we know someone who makes soap. Mm-hmm. We have several friends in the medical field, several friends in the legal field, and now we know a guy who makes cars.
This is awesome. I can finally put together my soap-powered legal automobile.
You got to work the doctor people in there, too, because Jesse now works at a blood Dracula factory.
Well, it runs on blood.
Of course. On blood soap.
Yes.
Yes.
Caffeinated.
Oh, wow. Jesse can totally get me some blood for the blood soap.
Yes. Or my new friend, Kim, someone that Matt has known apparently for years.
Yes.
Also works in some sort of blood capacity.
Child blood.
Well.
Oh, my God. That's the best kind.
That's
so good for your skin.
It's one step better. It's Canadian child blood.
Yes. Wow.
That's just even because they got the high-end healthcare.
Yep.
So that blood is way more pure than our blood because they can go to the doctor all the time.
It's perfectly maintained.
Yep. Whereas we go to the doctor when it's really serious because we can't afford it otherwise. You guys can go to the doctor for every little thing, so your bodies are in perfect shape.
Yep.
All right. Next one comes from...
I'm going to the doctor's right now, by the way.
See? you kid, but there's been a couple of times when Amanda first got here where there's like such a minor thing, and she's like, I'm going to go to the doctor. Like, really? You got $100? What do you mean? You can't just go to the doctor for a cold? No, you shouldn't.
She knew what she was getting into moving to America.
Yeah, well, we have, what do we have? Help me out here, fellow American. Anything? What do we have?
Freedom.
What else you got?
Yep, we got that too.
Yeah.
Giant portions of food.
There you go. Giant portions of food. Thank you. And
that
we cook.
Is surprising even to me.
We cook eggs in more than one way, which apparently they don't do in England. Did you hear about that?
I don't think I heard the egg story.
This was English and Irish Gavigan. I'm endlessly fascinated by these guys and just the things. It's the whole Nick and Willikins thing. It's the cultural differences. It's like things there be like this, but here they be like this. I'm just endlessly fascinated by that. Apparently they went out for breakfast one morning and the waiter said, how would you like your eggs? And Irish Gav's like, I would like them. I guess when you order eggs there, it's just understood that they're cooked a certain way. And I don't know what the default way is, but they don't really cook them in different ways over there. And he's like, I had to remember TV shows and movies. And I said, Sunny Side Up or Over Easy, because those are the only things I've heard movie characters order. So I knew those were ways to order eggs. I don't remember which one it was, but it was something that he'd heard in a movie. He's like, I don't speak this language. I don't know.
I thought of them today as my friend and I were settling our lunch check.
Oh, God, stop paying. That's what they don't, when they go to the pub, which they do apparently all the time because they're alcoholics.
I just like stickers.
Yes. They go up to the bar and order each round separately. That's just the way it works there. That's the protocol, which, okay, whatever. But here we have this awful tradition of settling the check, which I've always hated being from here, but I can imagine being an outsider looking at this. Yeah, okay, no. Well, I just had the appetizer, so I'm only going to give you a I got to put this on my card, so I don't have any cash. Can you break a 50? Just
I
looking
only
at
two
it.
Bites of your peas. I don't want to have to pay for them.
Yeah, can we break it down pea by pea so I could just pay individually? I mean, and we weren't even a particularly, you know, nitpicky crowd when it comes to that. We were all just throwing in money. But after about 10 minutes, just English Gav throws his arms up and he goes, "Stop paying!" It just, they don't get it. And I can totally see how that looks stupid to them.
Yes.
Because, yeah, just awful. Next one comes from, well, I think Ted Bigsby, but it has a different name here. Is that like a secret? Are we not supposed to reveal his secret identity?
I don't know.
Very well. Well, Ted Bigsby, wink, sends us this. Greetings, gentlemen. The live shows at this year's Emerald City. By the way, the video versions are available for $3. That's a steal. Thank you for that. We're quite amazing, and I look forward to Sarcastic Con 4. Live free our sarcastic heart. That's the worst. Ted, you're the worst. This, of course, means you have to get Kevin Smith to play some goofy role in it, which you could probably get. Just put out a plate of weed under a box with a stick propping it up.
I don't know. We'd have to get a pretty big box.
You'd have to get a box for two. Free Scott Zioko, Ted Bixby. I do not want Kevin Smith on this show, thank
no.
you. I wouldn't mind a maybe a famous guest. I'm also still not super keen on the whole Sarcastic Con thing. I don't think we're quite ready to take over the con yet. I think we can rename Room 204 or whatever it is, but I don't think we're quite ready to...
Give us a couple of years.
Yeah.
Build up the army.
It's a gradual thing.
I'm pretty sure Mumbly Bane's a fighter.
Yeah, Mumbly Bane is a foot soldier in our army.
Yep.
Plus we got the Zioko kids.
Yep.
That'll help.
An unending army.
Yes. That's like our infinite foot soldiers.
Yep.
And Tidro can make, like, decoys out of soap.
God damn it.
Is that not a thing you want to do?
No, that's awesome. That's why I'm goddamning it.
Okay.
That's a pretty good plan, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think eventually we will, you know, gradually spread our awfulness across everywhere.
Yes.
I almost said seed, and that's not what I meant at all.
Is it?
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure that it is.
No.
Let's go with contagion.
There you go.
That's good, too.
That's
although
much
it reminds
awful.
Me of a terrible movie I don't want to watch.
Yeah, and a bad episode of Star Trek also.
Yeah.
All right, we got a couple of voicemails now.
Okay.
Speaking of spreading your seed, I'm pretty sure Pat McDonald's about to say something awful.
Oh, good.
Let's have a listen.
Dear Sarcastic Voyage, I was thinking of you while I jerked off into my sock last night. I was thinking of you while I jerked off into my sock. I was thinking of you. I wish I'd had more than two, but I didn't have anything else to do. I was thinking of you as I jerked off into my sock.
Was that a poem?
That was deep.
Was
yeah.
it? Was it deep?
I mean, yeah. Well, he was deep into his sock.
Did I miss some sort of reference that appeared to be shallow but was actually complex?
I believe it was a metaphor.
For what?
I don't know.
Let's see. It's a poem, so love.
No.
I think it's more about the human condition. Of being
human
separate.
Equation?
Of being separate and yet wanting to be joined with other people.
And socks.
Wanting to be joined with a sock.
I suppose
the
so.
The sock is a metaphor.
For what?
So what's Pat jerking off then?
That's another different metaphor.
It's a metaphor for needing a ride.
That's a metaphor for a penis.
Oh, well, obviously. Thank you, Sigmund Freud. Sometimes a sock is just a sock. All right, next one comes.
Although it's certainly not a sock I would want to wear again.
No. All right, final voicemail comes from Blandy again.
Dear Al, Matt, and possible guest, this is Blandy Buchanan. I would just like to clarify that A, I would never, ever order Domino's pizza. B, my fiancé would never, ever allow me to organize a porn scenario in which we were waiting for the pizza delivery guy to show up while having sex. And see, my voice is just as deep as it always was. Yours in Christ, Blandy.
Okay, Okay, that was a reference to episode something. When
six?
When Pat called and said that he was Blandy and he was playing some awful game with the pizza man. Pat really is doing something to this show.
He certainly is doing something to it.
I don't entirely disapprove, but it's certainly not our usual thing. Mm-hmm. Are you giggling and blushing over there, or...?
It's very possible.
All right.
Pat is adorable.
That's the thing, is, like, most of this kind of stuff, I would throw it away. I'd be like, I don't want to hear this. Go away. But something about Pat just makes it all right, and I can't
He's
believe I'm...
incorrigible scamp.
I can't believe I'm saying that and encouraging him to do more. But, well, you know, he can get away with... I don't think there's anyone in our audience that I could think of who could tell us they were jerking off into their sock, and I wouldn't giggle. Like, everyone else just would make me, oh, shut up, don't say that. But Pat's just like, oh, Pat, you're so cute.
That is exactly it.
Yeah.
Well, now I know not what not to do for the 200th episode.
No, I'm talking callers, Matt.
Oh, well.
It's different between me and you. That's a whole other thing. All right.
Make sure you say that when we have company.
I'm not going to say anything else. All right. So that is all. I do apologize for the heavy amount of reminiscing about Emerald City. Hopefully that stuff is relatable to you guys, because we think those people are great and hilarious, and hopefully you think so too. But,
yeah, and if it wasn't, well, gosh, maybe you should come next year.
Yeah, that's the only reason you couldn't relate to any of that, is because you were so selfish and lazy that you couldn't bother to make it to one of America's great cities to see two of North America's great comedians, us. Yep. So next time, do better.
Yes.
I mean, Tidro made it out there.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. And you didn't murder me or anything.
No. Well, I tried.
I'm pretty sure I tried to murder you.
Well, yeah. There's that picture of you strangling me, actually.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well.
It was a love strangle.
Well.
Come on, baby. It's a love strangle.
That, wow. All right. And on that note... I think this would be a fine time to stop talking now.
You got what I need.
Play us out, Matt.
Hey there. This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast featured Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham, with Gav Brown, Terry Drozdak, Amanda Smith, and Sabrina Snyder. It was written by Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham, with Gav Brown and Brian Lynch. I'm your announcer. How you doing? Visit SarcasticVoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2012.
Hey, Al, what you got there?
Oh, I'm just hauling some old bits off to the dump.
Do what now?
Well, the convention and the live show were like the end of a year-long cycle in my mind. Now we're starting fresh, preparing for the new year, so I'm throwing out a bunch of old bits we're not using anymore.
Yeah, but our bits!
We can make more bits, Matt.
What is in here?
Nothing. Damn it, get out of there!
What? This is my Takei Tripping Balls reference. Don't throw this away.
That bit is dead. There's no life left in it. You have to let this stuff go. There'll be new...
Armus? You're throwing away Armus, too? Are you crazy?
That was funny, like, once. You and Flonk just kept...
What is this? One guy did? I don't recognize this one.
That's another one of your standbys.
I never say that. I think I'd remember if I said that. I remember the stuff I say, Al. They call me Rememberful Jones.
Nobody calls you that.
One guy did. Hey, give that back!
No. Matt, the show needs to evolve. We'll never get anywhere if we don't throw out old things in favor of creating new ones.
I see a whole lot of your bits in here. Or any, for that matter.
What? There's plenty of my stuff in here. Here's one right here. Zork 2 references.
What?
References to the text game, Zork 2. I make them constantly. Well, no more. I'm through using that crutch. Ever forward, my friend.
I'll ever year forward.
Up, in the bag.
Damn it.